don't have a Bible with you, we got pretty brand new pew Bibles in the chairs, underneath the chairs, so if you want to grab one of them, you can take a look. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I think maybe what we'll do is just read the passage and then kind of go from there. I do want to lay a little bit of a backstory, though. This book in its entirety is a letter written again by the Apostle Paul to the church that was at Corinth. They were having some issues, issues that were on a broad spectrum, sin issues, issues with how they worshiped, issues with how they were getting along with one another, lots of things, like every church, right, has issues. Some of these had reached Paul's ear by letter, some by word of mouth. And so much of what this book is instruction from the apostle to that church to kind of maybe realign their expectations or to get some things that had gone out of line back in line. Some teaching, some instruction, and some correction. And so in the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about spiritual gifts, this idea that God speaks to his people through these spiritual gifts, which are given to each person by God, directly from God, gives his people these gifts through which God speaks and guides his people. That's the way it's intended to work. Well, today we're going to be reading in chapter 14 and a little bit more in depth about the gifts of prophecy and tongues. So we're going to begin there in chapter 14, verse 1, if you'd like to follow along. It says here, "Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? If even lifeless instruments such as the flute or the harp do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will get ready for battle? So with yourselves. If with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves. Since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you're saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you do speak to your church. We thank you, Lord, for your written word that we can read and we can understand and that we can stand on as a guide for us to learn how to hear your voice by your Spirit. And so, Lord, we ask today that as we look into what the apostle has taught in this passage of Scripture, and Lord, we think about and hold out what it might mean for us as a church as we seek love, your love, and as we seek spiritual gifts so that you might speak through us and to us. We ask, Lord Jesus, that as we look at that, that you would send your Spirit here to speak. We ask, Lord, that you would make space in our understanding, in our minds, in our time, in our spirits, to receive the gifts that you would want to give to us, through which you can speak to us. So, Lord, we give you this time, and we anticipate and we hope, and we ask that you would speak to us in it. And, Lord, I especially ask today that you would guard my words and smooth my wrinkles, that what is said may be edifying and building up to the church. For we are yours, and it's in your name, Lord Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Now, we've been talking for a couple of weeks now about this idea that God speaks to his people, that he has given us gifts to enable us. He's given gifts to enable his people to do and know his, to know his will and to do his will. And we talked about last week that the key or the power source, you remember I brought my saw in, I was being kind of reckless with it up here last week. No, I'm never reckless. Never would I be reckless. But the power source, right? Love, God's agape love is the power source, and it has to go first before any of the other any of these gifts work or work properly. Function as they ought to. And I will confess to you this morning that as I, you know, attempt to seek out, you know, how to explain or how to teach or how to offer this teaching or these passages to this group, it is difficult and it's sometimes kind of confusing. I think we can all appreciate that, I hope. As we come together, and I've encouraged you the last 2 weeks to make space to dream, right? I kind of want to stay there. I would encourage us all as we gather as God's children for what we call church. You know, I'm going to church. What does it mean? What we are is a group of followers of Jesus that are coming together to worship God together. Why though? Why do we come together and worship? Is there something special about when we gather together, unified in our intention to worship? Yeah, God says gather together. Because where two or more are gathered, what? He is there too. What makes us coming together and worshiping powerful is, or should be, rather, what should make it special is that we are creating an environment, or we're creating a fertile territory for God's Spirit to speak to his people. And we need to hear God's voice, church. We need to hear God's voice because why? Because we have issues. All of us have issues. Some are more obvious than others. Case in point. No. Right? Some are more obvious than others. We give our praises and our prayer requests each week, and some we broadcast, you know, hey, you know, I've got this big gaping need in my life that where I need answers or I need hope or I need encouragement or I need a miracle, right? We had all those this morning in our praises and prayer request time. There are other needs that we have that are much more difficult to articulate. One, because we may not even know what our need is. We just know we have one. You ever have those days? I don't even know what the problem is, but I know there's a problem. We need to hear God's voice because we have so many needs, desires, some of which are so complicated or covered up that we don't even know how to express them. Well, guess who can express them? God's Holy Spirit. He can divide out and make sense and answer even those needs that we have, that we can't even articulate ourselves. It's powerful and it's important for us to come together to seek God that he might speak to us. And I've encouraged you to make space to dream because I believe And you may say that I'm off base, but I believe that we may not be living up to all of what God has for us. An audacious statement? No, I don't think so. Yeah, thanks, Dan. Dan's encouraging me back there. Yeah, it's real easy for us because we have, in a general sense, pretty comfortable lives. It's real easy for us to just come and kind of go through the motions of what good Christian folk do on Sunday. We go to church. It's easy for us to get comfortable with church and to sort of lose a sense or a desire for or a hope of expectation. That we might actually hear God's voice or that He might actually do a deep work in us. I'm way off track. Forgive me. We need to dream. We need to maybe think, to quote Eugene Peterson, we need to think a bit more apocalyptically about our faith. That not only God is able to do things that just blow our minds and change our perspectives and intervene in our lives, not only knowing that He's able, but that He actually might. We need to live there. And whatever it is that stands in the way of that expectation, we need to ask God to help us, you know, knock down the weeds, that we might believe that and come together each week actually expecting that God might do something life-changing. I hope that. I hope that every week. I really do. We have to be seeking for it, for Him to do it most of the time. Once in a while, God comes in with a, you know, a left hook that we don't see coming. But when we seek it, when we seek Him, He can do stuff. And as we talk about, let's get back to the passage here. We're talking about spiritual gifts, things that God does, not only to speak to His people, but there's another element here that we need to note, to prove that He's alive. God gives these gifts, these supernatural, spiritual gifts, not only to speak to His people, but also to manifest His existence, manifest the truth that He is alive and that He speaks. I just locked onto this verse as we were reading, if I can find it. It says, hold on, let me find it again. I locked on and then I locked off, apparently. Verse 12, so with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit. Are you eager for manifestations of the Spirit? Are you eager for manifestations of the Spirit? Certainly the church in Corinth was, to the point that they were sort of misusing some of these things. That's why Paul is writing about this, is because some of these gifts were being misused. Now, okay, we've talked about spiritual gifts so God can communicate with His people. Spiritual gifts so that God can manifest Himself as alive and speaking and interacting with us in our lives. So, these two gifts that we're talking about today. I want to get too off track. These two gifts that we're talking about today in particular are the gifts of prophecy and the gifts of tongues. Now, we went over them briefly in the past couple weeks, but essentially, just to break it down in simple terms, the gift of prophecy is what? It's when God speaks to one of us something, a special word, and then one of us takes that message that we received from God and gives it to the church, gives it to the people. Now, could it be just to one person? Yeah, could it be, you know, it can work out in different ways. But that's pretty cool. Yeah? The idea that God would put a word in somebody, put a word in me or Dan or other Dan or and give it to the rest of us, that's amazing. The gift of tongues. This one gets a little more complicated, a little more unusual maybe, where God would enable or cause a believer to speak a word in a language unknown to that person. Now, we've already kind of done some of the work, we've talked about some of that. There have been instances, certainly, when God gives someone a supernatural ability to speak a language in order to communicate with people that he otherwise wouldn't be able to communicate with. I shared a story. I met a man in New Zealand who was at a conference, and he was supposed to have an interpreter, and he didn't have an interpreter. And God spiritually, supernaturally, miraculously enabled my friend to speak Spanish. He did not know Spanish. And he was able to speak to a bunch of people. That is the gift of tongues. And certainly, if you recall, one of the earliest mentions of the gift of tongues is when, as at the day of Pentecost, when the disciples were all together and they were praying, and the Holy Spirit fell, first time. The Holy Spirit fell and caused them to all these speak these different languages. Well, when the crowd that was all there could hear the glories of God being spoken in their individual languages. God did that to spread his word in a miraculous, supernatural way that those guys couldn't have done on their own. God gave them those tongues, those languages, to speak his truths and his glories in a supernatural way. Now, as Paul notes in this passage, there are many types of languages around the world, you know, and maybe there's heavenly languages. But if somebody, this is a scriptural thing. God will enable somebody or cause somebody to speak in a language that they themselves do not know. And so in that case, God also enables another gift, which is the interpretation of tongues for other people to be able to interpret that language, whether by their education and knowledge and experience that they know that language, or perhaps miraculously by his Spirit. Either way, let's break these down. Either way, message from God to a believer to his church. Pretty powerful thing, right? Now, remember I was talking to you about needs that we have, answers that we want, miracles that we desire. If we could hear the voice of God, where should that fall on our priority list? Okay, so I come to church or I come to work or wherever, like Buckaroo Banzai says. How many of you know who Buckaroo Banzai even is? Oh, my word. Okay. Well, famous quote from Buckaroo Banzai, wherever you go, there you are. So whether you're coming to church or going to work or laying in your bed first thing in the morning or late at night, whatever it is, I just derailed myself with Buckaroo Banzai. That's terrible. to hear the voice of God, I think, should fall pretty high on our priority list. And here it is, we're told that these are some gifts that we can seek and that God will give to us in order that we might hear his voice. Is that something we should pursue? Or something that should be important to us? This is mind-blowing stuff. What a gift. What a gift that we might hear the voice of God. Now, it takes many forms, obviously. I believe that as we have talked about spiritual gifts, we've been having some conversations peripherally about it. I do think that God has given me the gift of prophecy sometimes. I mean, what is it that I do each week if it's not seek God for the whole week and then try to bring something to build up and edify his church? Certainly, I believe, I wouldn't be standing here if I didn't believe that God is a part of that process. Okay? So the gift of prophecy is happening here, and it's not just happening in me because I know he's speaking to each one of you. It's not always so radical or an occurrence. Sometimes it is. It's not always such a radical occurrence. Sometimes it's just, man, I've just been thinking about this person and some things are coming to mind and then I share them and, oh man, that must have came straight from God because even that one conversation was so encouraging. It was so edifying, or it was so convicting. Prophecy is alive and well. Maybe we just don't call it that so often. Tongues? I was trying to think. I don't know if I've ever heard someone speak in tongues here at this church since I've been here. Maybe I have. But it's one that certainly is a little bit more mysterious and a little bit more, dare I say, scary for us. Space to dream. Space to dream. Space to just take a step back from what is so comfortable and so normal and say, God, do you want to do this here? I mean, clearly it's in your word. We read about it. We have instruction in it. Is this something that just was for them and is no more? Or is it something that you want to do here? And I'll just leave it right there. God, is this something that you want to do here? Because even if we ask that question is indicative of our pursuit of God, is it not? Well, I don't mean to be accusatory. That's not what I'm saying. But if we know that this is a way that God speaks to his people, and it's something that we have never pursued or never asked about or just don't care about, what's that say about our fervency, or what's it say about our pursuit of God? Are we avoiding it? If we are, why? Why would one avoid prophesying? Or why would one avoid speaking in a tongue? Well, let's go there. Maybe one of the biggest reasons that we might avoid it is because maybe we've seen these things misused. Can I just take a broad survey? How many of you in your faith journey, and I know we certainly some of these things are more are witnessed more often in different denominations or different fellowships, different churches, sure. How many in your experience have witnessed someone stand up and prophesy a word from the Lord in a group, like a spontaneous one? Okay, probably about 30%, okay? How many in your experience in your church journey have heard someone speak in tongues? About the same 30%. We can tell who's had the charismatic exposure, right? How many of those that just raised your hand that have heard someone speak in tongues, there was another person that interpreted that tongue? Okay, about the same, about 30%, maybe a little less. How many of those who have heard a tongue, heard an interpretation of the tongue, feel like in all your church experience, you've ever seen those gifts misused? All the same hands. What's that say? Almost 100%. Sometimes these gifts can be misused, right? That's why Paul's writing this. To guide them. Sometimes these gifts are misused, and therefore, sometimes it's just safer and cleaner for us to just not, right? Yeah, I mean, somebody could stand up in a group, and boy, they wouldn't, it would be wrong, right? Sometimes, though, when we are seeking these gifts and when we're trying to do our best to hear from God and share what it is that we're hearing, do we ever make mistakes? Is it possible to make a mistake? Yeah, it's possible to make a mistake. And that's why where that love comes in, right? That forbearance and that forgiveness. As we all seek God together, Isaac might stand up and say, I have a word to share from the Lord, and he shares it. And as we all listen, what are we also doing? We're praying and we're seeking God too. And Isaac might say something, and sorry to pick on you, Isaac, but this is just for an example. Isaac might say something, and four or five of us who are also in prayer and also in the Spirit seeking God for his voice hear what Isaac has to say and like, that's not resonating, right? God has built in those gifts as well of discerning, of distinguishing between spirits. But if we all are so afraid to go out on a limb and say something, will God ever speak through his people? Because we might be wrong, right? We've seen misuse, you know, and then you have the evil side of things too. And there is an evil side where somebody might say, a word from the Lord, God told me, and I'm not saying this real. This is an example, I'm not saying this, okay? Are we understood? We understood. So somebody, if they're really on the evil side, could stand up and say, God just told me that you are all my subjects, and you must follow every order that I give you. He told me that. Right. Yeah, drink the Kool-Aid. That's sad, Dan. Why'd you bring that up? Right? But if we haven't seen something like that, we certainly have heard about it, right? False leaders, false prophets who claim to hear from God and they're not hearing from God. They may be even convinced that they are, which is why God gives these distinguishing spirits gifts. And these interpretation gifts, that there can be a balance to that. But we've either seen it abused or we've heard about it being abused. So that might be one reason why we just take a step back and just kind of close off that storage area, or we close off that wing and just lock it up. Sometimes I think we hold back or we close ourselves off to the possibility of God using some of these gifts is because maybe we're just afraid. Just afraid. And that's, you know, it's a pretty natural thing to be afraid. It is. Or to fear what we don't understand or what we don't know. Pretty normal. Maybe we're afraid of being disappointed. I've had that, haven't you? Not take a risk because you might fail. Yeah, I've been there. Man, I tell you what, even yesterday. So yesterday we were doing firearms training, and James was there. And you know, I'm the teacher. I'm the instructor out there. And I brought some extra ammo because it'd been a while since I ran through the courses, you know. But it's a scary thing. And I'm not playing any games or anything like that, but when you're the teacher and then you're trying to help others succeed at these qualifications and then it's your turn to do it in front of all them, yeah, tracking, it's scary. What if I fail? And here I am supposed to be a leader, supposed to be, you know, a person in authority or whatever, and what happens if I do something goofy and I miss my shots? Missed one. Just one. Yeah. James was giving me a hard time because he got a perfect score. However, that was my first try. I missed one. How many did it take you to get a perfect score? Three? Just so everybody knows, I'm better. Do you see, though? This will preach. See how our humanity gets mixed up with other stuff? Sometimes we're afraid to try because we might fail. and look foolish. Seen it abused, maybe. Maybe we were afraid that we might fail. There's another one too. I think just uncertainty. Maybe if you've never experienced, one of these gifts, the Bible says we should pursue them. Pursue love and the gifts. So we should be chasing after this stuff, but maybe if you don't have any experience, you know, in life, if you want to learn a new skill, let's say you want to learn skydiving, right? That's a pretty common skill for everybody to want to learn, right? And so, but if you want to learn skydiving, now, I chose skydiving for a reason, because it's a high-risk activity. Let's say you want to learn a high-risk activity. What do? Grab a used parachute and go? You could. That's what Shane would do. No, but generally speaking, if you want to learn a high-risk skill, or you want to grab onto some new high-risk activity or high-risk skill, what do? You find experts. And in life, when we seek an expert, a lot of times if they're going to teach us this high-risk skill or activity, they'll start at the basics. And they'll instruct us in a safe and controlled manner up till the point when, you know, like in the case of skydiving, after you've received a certain amount of instruction, and they strap you to another guy and off you go. But then there comes a point where pretty soon you're able to pack your own chute and put it on, cinch it up, and, you know, go out and go by yourself, right? It's a progression. It's a progression. And when it's a tangible thing, it's a little bit easier because we can... No, maybe not easier for skydiving, but when it's a tangible skill, it's a little bit easier because we can see and understand the process as we go. As we learn from this expert, we can see and touch and understand the process as we go. It's a little bit harder in the things of the Spirit because they are intangible oftentimes. Can we train in the gifts? I think yes. Yes. There are some of those here who may have the gift of prophecy or may have the gift of tongues. If that is something that you feel drawn to, I would highly encourage you to seek out people with expertise. Maybe they can train or draw or teach you or learn or teach you how to open yourself up to these certain types of gifts. But there is one thing that kind of mixes all of these together that is also causes us to not seek the gifts. And I'll end with this one. And that is the truth and fact that when we seek spiritual gifts like prophecy and like tongues, the uncertainty is magnified because God is very unpredictable. To go into prayer with a mindset of expecting something miraculous is a shift for many of us, right? To go into prayer fully expecting and hoping for God to do something supernatural and miraculous is out of our control by its very nature. And a lot of times, we as people do not like that at all. We don't like it. Because if I'm going to go learn skydiving, I know that there's a process along the way, and I know what it is that I'm hoping to get out of it. Right? I want to acquire my knowledge of skills. I want to acquire my knowledge of equipment. I want to have training about how, and then I want to go do it. And it's very linear, and I know what the equipment's going to be and how the thing, and I know the end goal. When we go to God for these gifts, we don't know what the end will be. Right? It's different. It's different than any other thing that we pursue. Because our God is not a tame God. He's not a predictable God. And that is for our good. That is a good thing. Don't mistake me. That is a good thing that God is not tame. Because every abuse you've seen of a spiritual gift, every failure you've seen of a spiritual gift was because self got in the way. And I don't like using absolutes because I'm always afraid that there's some outlier thing that happened somewhere, but I would say it. Every time we've seen a misuse of spiritual gifts, it's because self got in the way. When we seek the gifts, there must be a total relinquishing of self. And that is pretty scary. It's pretty scary. But that's the cost. If you want to see spiritual gifts in your life, and you want to practice even, or train in hearing the voice of God and seeking it out, whether it's from others or from Him and through you to others, if we're going to seek this out, it will be dangerous, and it will take a high level, if not complete, no, it will take complete vulnerability between you and God, and you and others too. Because when God gives you something to share, you believe that something came from God and you're supposed to share it, that, it's a scary place to be. It's a very vulnerable place to be. Now, just because way back when I first started being a pastor, I got a fortune cookie at a Chinese place. I don't even remember which place it was. But I got a fortune cookie, and it was super cool. And it said, a leader is someone who will take people to places they would never go on their own. That was a really impactful little, you know, word. I'm not saying it was prophetic or anything. It was just, that's true. A leader will take people to places that they wouldn't go on their own. Well, I had a dream last night. And so I won't ask you to try to speak words if I'm not willing to, if I think I might have received a word, and if I'm not willing to share, what kind of a leader am I then, huh? But I had a dream last night, and it weighed on me late into this morning, and I think it could be, there could be value there, so I'll share it. And you who have this the gift of distinguishing between the spirits can say if this is from God or not. But in my dream last night, it was a very strange dream, very impactful. It was about church, and somebody, and I don't even know who, somebody had sort of reconstructed the front area of our church, and up till about here, they had built walls up. There was walls that were built up, and they had put this ugly sort of painted on wainscoting border thing up here, and it was hideous. It was ugly walls had been built up here at the front of our church in my dream. And in that dream, there was a battle. It was a battle that it had been built, and there was a bigger battle even coming. And in my dream, I was down here, but in my dream, I came up, and there was only a very small little area. It was almost like there was a very small area that that's where I was supposed to preach. You know, this was all for the good of the church. It was for the good of the organization or whatever. But in the dream, they had just narrowed up the stage, and they'd narrowed up this place that I had to preach that until it was only like this big. It was very small that it was narrowed up. And this was just a fight that was going on. And so I came, and I remember in my dream I had some weird armor or something on, and I remember I got this helmet. In my dream, I got a helmet. And the helmet was, I put it on, and when I put it on, I hit myself in the head multiple times, and I couldn't even feel it. This helmet was like a really, really good helmet, I guess, because I kept hitting myself, and I couldn't feel anything. And I'm glad I didn't wake up with bruises. And so in the dream, the walls are built up. There's a fight, and I have this armor on, and I got this helmet. I got it. I don't know where I got it, but I got this helmet. And I put it on, and it was so protecting that I couldn't even hurt myself if I tried. And then after I got my helmet on, I walked up, and I walked into the little place that I had left to preach, and there was a whole bunch of others in there. I assume, you know, my church people. They were in there, and they were ready, preparing for a siege. And here I was with my armor and my helmet, and I walked into the narrow place where they were all, and I took my spot at the opening of the opening there. And I remember in the dream, all throughout the dream, that as we'd go out and about, there were all these little snakes everywhere. Not everywhere, but just a lot of places. In part of the dream, there was a kid. I had a kid, and he tried to put his hand in a fountain, and I had to pull him back because there was a little snake in the fountain. And there was a bush, and there was a little snake in the bush. I don't know what this means. But we share, right? If you feel impressed to share, then share. This is how this works. You know, and there needs to be space for that. So I didn't want to tell you to do it if I'm not willing to do it, right? Maybe it means something, maybe it doesn't. Maybe God's telling you what it means, I don't know. But share if he does. Self must be put aside. And that's ultimately, as we seek the gifts, we have to know that they're real. We have to know that God still uses them. We have to know that love must be the motivator. And we have to know that self must be out of the way. We are crucified with Christ, right? We're dead already. Who can hurt us? Father, I thank you so much that you still speak to your people. And I thank you, Lord, that you have given gifts to your children through which you can speak to us. Lord, I ask that you would forgive us for times when we have either forgotten or chosen to disregard the fact that you might want to use us and speak through us. I pray, Lord, that you would forgive our unbelief, that you would forgive our fear, that you would forgive our complacency as we seek you, the creator of the universe, Almighty God. I ask, Lord, that you would regenerate our hearts, that you'd give us new perspective, that you would change our minds, that we would live lives expecting you to speak and expecting you to use us. And I ask, Lord, that if that causes big change, Lord, that you would enable it, that you would make us not afraid of anything except for missing out on hearing your voice. Lord, I don't know what strongholds you want to break down. I don't know what kind of gifts you want to display. But Lord, may we be open to you, and may we be receptive to you, and may we be obedient to you. I pray that you would give us your heart and that you would speak to your people, that we might have life and life to the full as you intended for us to have. For we are yours. And we ask in your name with full expectation. Amen.